You're listening to the Market Gems podcast, presented by the Chesapeake Group. Welcome to the Market Gems podcast, presented by the Chesapeake Group. Our guest today is Mr. Nils A. Ahlquist, CEO of Brookmount Gold. Brookmount Gold trades in the OTC markets under the ticker symbol BMXI. Brookmount Gold is a junior gold producer dedicated to responsible exploration, development, and production of high-quality gold assets. With a strategic presence in Indonesia and North America, they focus on projects in mineral-rich regions that contribute positively to local economies and ecosystems. Their mission is to drive sustainable growth and deliver long-term value to their stakeholders by combining innovative technology with sustainable practices. Mr. Ahlquist, thank you so much for joining me on the Market Gems podcast.
Thank you very much.
If you would, please share a little bit of the company's background and then segue into current projects, if you would.
Absolutely. The company was formed originally by a group of strategic investors out of Hong Kong, high net worth individuals who were looking at creating opportunities or taking advantage of opportunities in Asia, which is a market that we knew very well. Personally, I'd lived for approximately 20 years in Hong Kong doing investment banking around the region and direct investment, including in China and Indonesia and developing countries, which were becoming far more important to everybody. And we decided that gold was a product that we felt we should take into the next level, as we knew, and we had partners in Indonesia, for example, that were very invested in gold in tropical volcanic-hosted sediment regions, particularly in the north east of the country, in a province called Sulawesi, which runs under the Philippines. The South China Sea runs across the top of the island, and there's a gold reef, significant gold reef, which runs from southern Philippines, Mindanao province, under the South China Sea and across the top of Sulawesi. The area was mined by Newmont Mining, just in a bit of background from the 80s, originally founded by the Dutch in the 19th century. So our partner, who is in Indonesia and in this particular part of the country, is ex-army and very well known, respected, and holds a lot of clout in the area. They've been conducting gold mining operations around the district of Manado for many years. We've known him, we've known his family, and we decided to cooperate starting from 2015 when we formed the joint venture to jointly work his gold operations, which we had put together through a joint venture agreement. And so we basically have been working with him on exploiting the reserves in his property, which is around 50 hectares and expanding all the time. The property is has gold licenses pursuant to a local authority called a koperasi, which is not a federal license, it's a local license for local indigenous people to exploit resources which they have in their territory. So we've been producing and profitable pretty much since day one. And in 2018, we took the company public through merging with a public vehicle, Brookmount, which was then trading on the OTC. And we have developed that operation further since then. We've been reporting consistently growing profits and revenues and profits, I'm sorry. And the gold grades which we're exploiting in the area are sort of anomalously high. We have grades as high as 30, 40 grams per ton of ore, which is very high for a subsurface extraction, the process that we use. Because we operate in a tropical rainforest area, we're very conscious of environmental issues, and we operate shaft mining, which is done intermittently through the property, where all grades are tested at the highest levels, and we will operate a shaft underneath, down about 70 to 80 meters, and then we run horizontal shafts over from the vertical shaft. So we have a minimal impact on the terrain around us. Any processing that we do, we have plumula and tailing ponds, which absorb the runoff product, if you will, from the process. Sunlight evaporates most of the chemicals, and when it's ready, it can be dried out and basically returned to the area around it as neutral soil. So we're very conscious of the well-being of the local community working with us in developing these resources. And about 6 months ago, we've been talking to our partner for some time about acquiring full control of the operation. Previously, we had operating control. It was consolidated into our financial statements, but we didn't have access or full control over the cash flow from the operation. That was part of the original terms of the joint venture, which we amended, restructured, and we now have full control. They've set up an operation such that we have our own bank accounts, we have our own staff running all the operational side and finance side. And we've recently completed the first 2 years of audits, which will be supplying or putting into a registration statement to be prepared later this year. The 2 years were 2021 and 22, which were completed by our auditor, Russell Bedford, out of Jakarta, part of the global group. And Russell Bedford produced IFRS audits for the 2 years, and are working on the two subsequent years, 23, 24, at the moment. And once that's completed, we'll be preparing a registration statement for to become fully reporting, and in preparation for uplisting to a recognized exchange. The fundamentals of our business are quite unusual for a junior, what do we call a junior gold miner, in as much as we not only mine, most companies will just have a reserve, a resource, which they build up on their balance sheet, turn around and sell the company for a profit. We have always been of the mind that we're going to do this, we're going to do it as a producer. Gold is a product which basically never fails. So we have been producing, and we will continue to increase our production as what they call, once again, a junior miner. But from this point of view, I believe we qualify as a small-scale international global mining company. We also have operations in North America. We have a general manager, Aaron Kimball, who's a geologist based in Edmonton in Canada. And we have three properties, two in Alaska, one in the Tintina Gold Belt in Canada, which all of which are at or near production. And we will be developing those properties within the next 6 months. We'd have some tailings on one property, about 30,000 tons of tailings on the Canadian property, which can be reprocessed with residual ore grade of around 1 gram per ton, which could be used potentially in 30 kilos of gold. And there's some low-hanging fruit in North America, which we'll be taking when it's the appropriate time. For the time being, we're really focused on getting the audit completed, taking control and consolidating the operations of the Indonesian business, and preparing us for uplisting, which is the next stage of our development.
The company has mining assets in Indonesia and North America. So how does that strategy alone protect shareholders and create long-term value? How will these assets help diversify revenue streams? And then is the company looking to expand on that asset base?
It's a good question. The gold is a universal asset class. It doesn't have a geography, really. The only geography is determined by where the extraction cost is least. And being an Australian, having had experience in gold in Australia and US, Canada, and South Africa, it would appear to me that our costs of operations, with the possible exception of certain African countries and maybe parts of Latin America, are probably lower than most. We have a very low labor cost, a very good, hardworking workforce. We have minimal capital requirements. It's not a capital-intensive business. We have excavated and dug mines and so on, but it's a fairly low asset profile. And the processing assets are actually owned by our partner, and we pay him to use those processing services. In other words, when we mine the ore, it's put into ball mills to be crushed and then pumped into it as a slurry into processing tanks, which mixed with chemicals to provide a slurry which is put into the final smelt. That would be, it's a fairly minimal capital footprint or capital expenditure footprint on our business. When you talk about diversification, gold is a product which I don't think diversification is really necessary. If you're a good and well-structured and profitable gold producer, you can operate wherever. Doesn't really make a difference. Political risk, of course, is something that you have in mind. The political risk is largely driving the gold price at the moment in any of it. I think that having operations in North America, it's a higher cost market, but of course the yields would be, when we get, our operations actually underway there, would be very attractive as well, although it's a higher cost for sure. But diversity is important in this sense. From a political risk point of view, Indonesia just had an election. They have a strong president. They have a very stable population base. Politically, it's relatively stable, and I don't see any short-term risk in there from an operational point of view. U.S. of course and Canada give you that very low risk profile, which will diversify your risk structure across the business, and I think that's sufficient to position you to build yourself as a competitor in a small way to be like Barrick Gold and these sorts of companies that are obviously global producers, but operate in very similar way to what we do, with a higher capital cost, of course, but in similar markets and with basic processes which are the same.
I want to make sure we have a chance to drill down into the financials a little further, if you'll forgive the mining pun. As you alluded to, the company already has a strong history of revenue growth and profitability, from the jump. How will the company use cash generated to benefit shareholders to the optimal level in the future? And
what steps
are being taken now and will continue to be taken to eliminate future dilution?
We have survived because we hadn't pulled cash out of the business until the beginning of this year. So we'd survived on basically funding through private investment and through debt. We had some convertible notes, which were in the process of negotiating to have repaid. So the first priority for cash flow is to repay the debt on our balance sheet. And the second priority would be to make available for expanding the North American operations. Having said that, the North American operations will be very much a part of the listing process. We've actually announced recently a transaction where we're acquiring or merging with another public vehicle, and that public vehicle will be holding the North American assets. It will be part of Brookmount Consolidated, but it'll be holding the North American assets, and our Brookmount shareholders will receive a special dividend in that company to reflect their ownership in those assets being transferred to the subsidiary or the affiliate. So that will be a very positive move for Brookmount shareholders, our existing shareholders. It will also diversify our risk, and it will enable us to have a consolidation effect or balance sheet effect of two public companies trading. So I believe that will be a very positive move for the whole group, all our stakeholders, as we get this transaction concluded.
To the extent that you're comfortable doing it, and we've alluded to this a little already, but could you speak a little to future predictions for operational growth in North America, Indonesia?
Clearly, predictions can have to be qualified with a normal qualification, but I would say that at the moment we're tracking around over $1.5 million per month in our Indonesian operations that we've recently restarted as an independent, in inverted commas, party. And so that would get us backing towards the sort of numbers that we have been reporting as a joint venture company in the past. And these will be the order of numbers the 2 years have been completed and 2 years are being completed at the moment. So the tracking of the production at the moment, and expanding into higher grade sites, where we're in the process of building two additional shafts in a different area, which have even higher ore grades. And we're bringing in other additional workers from Java to set up the six-man 24-hour shifts that we have when we mine. And then we'll have basically five operational shafts, which will easily enable us to get to the numbers that we've been reporting in the past and probably exceeding them. So we're moving very quickly on that. We've only been in control for a few months, and we're building the workforce and getting, putting new systems in place to make it more efficient and make it more productive. And I think the results are starting to come through.
Nils, I appreciate you answering the questions I prepared today. Is there anything else that we haven't covered that you'd like to share with the audience and maybe share some contact information for people who want to learn more about Brookmount?
You know, the more we get the story out, the more people understand what we do, then the more success we'll have with our public company. One of the problems that we've had is that we're in a situation as a producing gold mine on the OTC, in particular on the pink sheets, which is very unusual. And I think we're probably one of the most high profile companies on the pink sheets because of that. But it's also a detraction because you're on the pink sheets, certain brokers can't deal with the stock and it doesn't have the same level of credibility that you would have if you were listed on the New York Stock Exchange second board or NASDAQ or even OTCQ, QS. But that process will be taking place. So, we recognize that we're a little bit too good, if you pardon the expression, for the pink sheets, and we need to get into a better environment or space, if you will. And that's in the process right now. That's what's driving our audit and registration, capital structure. It's all being shaped by the plan to move up the food chain.
Our guest today has been Mr. Nils A. Olquist, CEO of Brookmount Gold. Brookmount Gold trades on the OTC markets under the ticker symbol BMXI. For more information on the company, you can visit them online at brookmountgold.com. Mr. Olquist, I want to thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today, and I look forward to having you back with us again very soon for another update.
Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.